And do a roll call to make sure everyone who's participating can be heard. Ms. A? Attic?
I didn't
hear. Can you hear Bo?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. I'm just doing a roll call.
Yes, I'm here. I hope so.
I'm mostly here.
Okay, good. How about you, Mr. Dyer?
I'm here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
Ms. Stratton?
Here.
And Ms. Ophant?
Here.
Thank you. We're going to start off with public comments for items not on the agenda. If there's anyone in the audience who has a comment or a question, this is your opportunity. If it's not on the agenda, if it's on the agenda, please wait until we get to that point. We only have a few people on, so if we may revisit this at other business later on. But seeing no one with their hands up, right, David? Oh, no, Marjorie does. Sorry.
I just have an item that hopefully we can take up under other business, certainly up to you, that Gloria Brown would like to be appointed to the cemetery committee.
Do they have an opening?
We do have an opening. We've been advertising for a while now and haven't gotten anybody.
Okay, so we'll bring that up under other business. Thank you, Marjorie. All right, seeing no one else with their hands up, let's move on to the town administrator report.
I did the bank reconciliation today. I didn't get a report printed out, so I'll put it in your packets on the 23rd. But I did reconcile the bank statements through the end of August. So that's done. We're collecting taxes now, so we have a lot of tax revenue coming in. The departmental budgets should be expended by about 16.6%. I didn't see any problems, but again, I'll put that report in your packets in the next meeting. That'll be the 23rd, if that's okay.
Yep, sounds good.
I don't really have anything else unless somebody has some questions for me.
Does anyone else have a question to ask Marjorie about anything that's not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none. Let's move right on to regular business. To hear an update and consider the purchase of a cardboard compactor for the transfer station. In our packet, we had a really good memo, I thought, from Marjorie and Bo, talking about how this could be funded, which I think is really important to know that ahead of time. And from what I could tell, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if we had a motion to authorize the purchase of the cardboard compactor, or whatever its actual name is, that we could take $17,880.96 from the recycling compacting reserve fund and another $6,494 from building reserve, which would fund that cardboard compactor. Am I correct that would work, Bo?
The only thing in there is there's no number for excavating. Digging for the new power line. I mean, it's possibly talk to Marjorie about it's something that the town can do.
Yeah, so the public services could do that?
I would think so. It'd be a little difficult with a backhoe, but you know, it's doable.
Okay.
Any other
expenses that might not be reflected here?
So I think what Bo and I should do is just firm up that estimate for the electrical work and talk about any peripheral expenses that might be involved with that.
Well, do you think it would be appropriate if we had a motion of not to exceed a certain amount of money, or that we,
yes.
I mean, I don't want to have to bring this up again because we want to get this thing ordered in before cold weather.
Right, so you could say 25,000.
Yeah, not to exceed, and the money will come from the the reserve recycling compact reserve fund and the building reserve.
I guess all I'm trying to say is that you know, Bo and I should be sure that there isn't anything else hanging out there that would be an expense added on.
Okay, well, so do you think that there is something out there that would be more than 25?
I'm just referring to what Bo said about the excavating for the electrical work. I hadn't thought about that. So,
but if Public Works can do it, that doesn't cost us anything out of pocket, right?
Right.
David.
So Marjorie, are you confident that we can do it most likely for under $25,000?
Yes.
Right, then I would like to move that we authorize an expenditure up to $25,000 for a recycling compactor with $17,880.96 coming from the compactor reserve fund, and the remainder coming from building facilities reserve fund. No, excuse me.
We don't know exactly how much, so David, you were right the first time. Leave it open.
Yeah, let's leave it open. So 17,000 from the compact reserve and the remainder to come from the building facilities reserve.
Well, it was not to exceed 25,000.
Correct.
Yeah. So do we have a second? Thank you, Bo. Is there any discussion on that? Bo.
Mark had something before me. No? So I forgot to mention something last time. We want to put this new compactor where just behind the recycling one that's currently there, because it's already got rollers on the ground, and we can pull the containers out. I asked the gentleman that does the compactor and stuff, which he's familiar with multiple dumps and how they, their procedures and all that. And he mentioned that we're one of the very few that actually puts it undercover.
So it would go where one of those construction debris is?
Correct.
Okay. Is everybody on board with that? All right. Anybody else? A question or a comment? Mark and then David.
Thank you, Donna. So, Bo, to be clear, the new proposed cardboard compactor will go directly beside the existing recycling compactor in place of the metal.
Correct.
Thank you.
David?
And my question is the two bins that are there, the metal recycling bins, would one of those just not be used anymore? Would it be moved outside of the building or?
Outside, they're going to put it outside.
Is that right, Bo?
So my proposal would be to take out one of the bins, doesn't matter which one it is. There's concern about water and snow. I don't think they'll add much of a difference as far as weight. But the gentleman, I think if we moved all the containers outside, that we would get a better compaction out of our bins. And essentially, instead of, I got to check with Marjorie to see if there's any numbers as far as how many tons we're putting in it and how much we can put in it. So I think we're not crushing that enough, you know, to get our money's worth out of those containers.
So is there room between the shed itself, the building, and the gate to the other section of the wood dump?
If we put it across the, you know, across where there's always one there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I don't see why we can't put it there. Then town can come over and crush them and stuff. My other proposal was we needed a spot to put the old ambulance, and that would leave a spot for the ambulance to get parked in undercover, and we wouldn't have the expense of buying another pop-up tent or something. And I just wanted you guys the feel of you know, what you guys feel about it.
That's not a good idea.
And Ralph said that we do need, he needs something to be able to plug it in.
Right.
And there's already power there, right there. So I just wanted to throw it out there.
Okay, I think that, so we've got two different issues. Let's talk about where we put the ambulance after we talk about buying the compactor. I mean, mm-hmm. we can do it right afterward, but I don't want to get everything mixed up at the same time.
I understand. Okay.
Does that make sense? All right. So does anyone else have a question before we vote? All right. So I'm going to want to do a roll call. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes. And have you checked with the members of the public?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Was there anybody in the public who had a question about this compactor? Seeing none? You see anybody, David?
No.
David's my spy, Mark. He's supposed to be, having my back, but.
He's a good one.
How about monitor? I like monitor.
Okay, so Mr. Hill, do you vote yes?
Yes.
And Ms. Damon votes yes. It's unanimous that we buy the compactor as described from those two funds. We're going to drain the recycling compactor reserve fund and take the remainder up to 25,000, up to a total of 25,000. The remainder of it from that building reserve fund, not 25,000 from the building reserve.
Donna?
Yes.
Just very quickly, to summarize, can I assume, Marjorie, that if we, Marjorie and Bo, that if we don't hear back that the electrical service upgrade is going to go forward?
No, she's yeah. listening.
Thank you.
Okay, because we have a green light here. So so I would assume that tomorrow we can get on to ordering it or whatever we have to do, checking with the electrician. So now it's not really on the agenda, but it's part of this plan for the transfer station. Is everyone comfortable with talking about where we put the ambulance? Okay, nobody said no. So my only question about putting the ambulance in there is the fact that there is no security around that ambulance. So, I mean, I have no problem with it. I think it's probably the best solution, but I know that that the firehouse is locked up like Fort Knox, and that is not going to be the case with that ambulance there. Yes, Bo.
From what I gathered from Ralph, even if it was on the outside of the building over at the fire station, it would be in that, I'm just going to call it a pop-up tent. I don't know what you call it. Anyway, so it would be in the same, kind of in the same boat. It wouldn't be locked up over there. But the vehicle itself would be locked. And then over there, it's at least in the fenced-in area.
I'm not arguing about it. I just want to make sure the fire department was on. And Ralph, is Ralph muted? Or Ralph, can you come on and just weigh into how you feel about this?
I've talked to Bo about it, and I think it's the best we can do at this time. I don't think it should be a permanent solution, but yeah, I think that should work.
Okay, great.
There's no concern. I don't think there's any concern about security. We just leave it locked. There's nothing going to be in the ambulance.
Oh, okay. So I don't think we need a motion. I think this is just something that Marjorie will work out between Public Works, I mean, the transfer station and the fire department. Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
Mark?
No, I don't disagree. I just have a couple of logistical questions like I usually do.
Great. We love them.
So I'm assuming that if the backup ambulance goes into the transfer station, that multiple members of the fire rescue team will have a combination to the lock or a key to the lock to the transfer station, question number one, right?
I would assume so. They need to have access.
Question number two, bringing those, how many dumpsters do you think you will remove? Right now we're talking about removing, I think, the metal one from underneath the roof for the new cardboard compactor. How many, one or two more bins will be hauled out for the ambulance to go in?
I'd haul off the, I don't know if we need to haul off the metal out of there, because we don't get much compaction out of that thing. So even if the crew comes and pushes it in the bin, we're not going to gain much. Because the best compaction we'll get is out of the construction debris.
Okay. And if the let's say the two wood debris, the two C and D dumpsters are outside instead of underneath the roof, and there's a huge snowstorm coming, is there going to be any attempt to cover those dumpsters so they don't get completely full of snow, or how do we envision that working?
I haven't thought of that, but still.
The only reason I ask that question is the system is kind of limited as it is now. And so if the dumpsters are not underneath some kind of a roof anymore, or at least two or three of them, and they're not monitored or maintained, a lot of times with our dumpsters that we have on construction sites, we keep sheets of plywood over them or something so that they don't get completely filled up by storms, and then we just uncover them as we need to, especially in the winter. That's all. I'm just saying, you might want to just think about that.
Mike, I think that's a really good point, and I think that's something that we should ask Madri and Bo to look into, and we need probably some kind of a process, something written down about to explain to Gail or whatever, whoever is going to be in charge of this, because we could have an early snowstorm that would, and then we could have water after it, and you could freeze up and fill the thing up, and we wouldn't be able to get anything in there for the winter.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be a big problem. You might just want to think about some of this stuff, that's all. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anybody else have a comment about this? I just want to go on record, because we've had, just a minute, Jay. We've had this problem in the past with people having multiple keys to the transfer station, making sure that people understand that if they have a key to the transfer station, that doesn't mean that they have access to the actually putting trash in. Because we had that problem when we became a town. We had multiple people with keys. So I'm sure that Ralph will have that under control, but just to remind his people, whoever he gives the keys to. Jay.
To go back to your thoughts about covering the dumpster with some kind of plywood or something, I really don't see Gail going out and putting plywood covers.
No, I didn't mean Gail
in anticipation of a snowstorm.
Yeah, I didn't mean Gail herself, but she's kind of in charge of it when it might be needed.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I think that we're in the minutia now. I think that this can be handled by the town office. Mm-hmm. Do you agree, Madri?
I can talk with Gail and with Chuck and Doug. I don't know if Bo had any conversations with them or not, but I certainly want to talk with all of them before we do anything.
Yes.
You know, maybe there are strong objections for some reason. You know, I don't think anybody
they might have some good ideas.
we talked with Gail about the compactor. She was there when Atlantic Recycling came over, but all these other discussions have not, we haven't had at length discussions about any of this other stuff.
Yeah, so I think maybe we leave it up to Marjory for right now, and then she can get back to us on how this is going to work. Right now, the other ambulance is probably okay until we have our next meeting. Maybe Marjory can come with some kind of a proposal of how this will work after she works with Ralph and Gail and Chuck and everybody else and Bo who are involved. Anyone else in the audience have any questions or comments about the second ambulance, the old ambulance, and or the transfer station or the compactor before we move on? Nobody, David? Thank you. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is to hear an update from EMS and consider possible action regarding the decontamination room project. And so I'd like to start with Ralph. To get an update of where we are with this project.
Well, with the limited funds we have, we really don't have many options. It's gone from a two-shower area with enough room to decon a stretcher to all we really have the options for is a single shower trailer, which is a price of $27,373. That is plus the badging and then also hookup. I don't really have any way to figure in how much it would cost to hook up because we don't know exactly what it needs for the plumbing as far as water in and water out and electricity exactly. But that would be my recommendation at this time.
Ralph, in the one that was in our packet, it shows two showers.
There's two trailers, correct?
This is the one that's Alpha Mobile Solutions, and there's a picture that goes with it, that and it shows two showers, and it says 13.5K AC. That must be air conditioning.
Yeah, I think that's, if we all read this right, that one would be $33,663.
It says 26,392.
I think Jay can clear this up.
Okay.
Can I interrupt a minute?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, what was sent out, and the Alpha Mobile Solutions is basically two showers, two toilets, with a utility room. The Comforts of Maine that you also all got, because I hand-delivered it, were two different actual decontamination shower units. And one was a single unit, and that was 27 and change. And the two unit was 33 and more change. The question is, I've been thinking about this a lot, is... What are we decontaminating from? Because, you know, you've got a lot of different levels of decontamination in these things. I mean, everything from radioactive to chemical to biohazards. What are we actually trying to achieve with this unit? That's my first question. My second question is, or the second point that I'd like to make, is that both of the actual decontamination units aren't really deliverable until December, probably late December, which is way beyond, as David has pointed out, the grant payment timing, which is October 28th, I believe.
31st.
So, 31st, okay. So I guess my first question is, Ralph, what exactly are we trying to decontaminate here?
When we have a call, quite often it's bodily fluids, and in the event of a COVID patient, to be able to take a shower and decon the people. I don't see us having any radioactive materials on Chebeg that I know of or anything like that, or chemicals that
So the reason I asked the question is quite simply, is if you're talking about body fluids and all the kind of low-level things that I would expect that we see on Chebeg, you don't really need a decon chamber with negative air pressure and all the filters and all the other stuff. What you really need is a couple of good solid showers.
Yeah, that's
that right?
What we're trying to build, and yes, it needs to have obviously an exhaust fan, hot and cold running water, and in a drain. That's all we've ever been talking about, actually. But yeah, that's all we need.
Okay, but that's not a decontamination unit. Decontamination units. Somebody walks into room one, takes their stuff off, puts it in a bag for later disposal and or cleaning, walk from there into a shower where they get covered, you know, they take a shower, then they move to a third room where they in fact put on their new clothing and so forth, and then they walk out from there. And then if there are other people...
That is exactly what we're talking about, Jay. That is, I don't know how you want to phrase it, but I've been in decon showers and decon trailers, and that's exactly what we're talking about. That is the need. We need to be able to take our dirty clothes off, put them in a bag, take a shower, and clean the clothes or get rid of them at a later date. That's exactly what we've been talking about.
No, we're not. I'm trying to draw some fine distinctions here. And maybe I'm not being clear enough. We can buy a shower, a two shower building on a trailer for 26 and change delivered. That is just basically a toilet and a shower room. You take your stuff off, put it in a bag, take your shower, put on clean clothes and go. That's not a decontamination chamber. A decontamination chamber is a three-part process where you...
Hold on. I think we're getting into the weeds here. I don't need a lesson on decon. I've been trained in it quite a lot. All I'm asking for is a shower, a place to take our clothes off. That's all we need. We don't need negative pressure or positive pressure or anything. So 26,000 works. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so to go back to the three pieces of the things that I put in everybody's mailbox, the first one was this Alpha Mobile Solutions, and that's basically a two-shower building with a toilet and so forth, which does everything you just asked for. The comforts of home stuff, which is the decontamination shower, either one or two, has negative air pressure, has the three chamber process, and so forth. That's not what you're asking for.
Right. I think that Ralph has clarified that right now, Jay. I think that he's on board with this Alpha Mobile Solutions. And in your notes, you say it's deliverable in 6 weeks, and we have at least 7 and maybe 8 weeks. So if we got on this right now, we could make this work.
Okay, so I'm just trying to establish what we need and what we should buy, because we shouldn't buy something just for the sake of spending the money.
I don't think that's the point.
And so if just two shower stalls and a couple of toilets satisfies what Ralph needs, then we can do it within the time frame. That's all fine and good. It's not a real
deal. Scratch the toilets too. We don't need toilets.
Well, they sort of come with it.
There'll be utility toilets on the Islander.
Well, yeah, and if they, I mean, they're there, so if that's part of the package, it's within the budget. I kind of want to move this along. I think we're all on basically the same page and when Ralph took us through the process up there now, we have what looks like less than the back house that I grew up with. It's a, for those people who are on the, in the attendees, if you haven't been up there and gone out behind the firehouse, you'll see something that's like a rigged up tarp where they just change their clothes and they have to basically run in their underwear. And we have men and women working together into the, to, through the firehouse to go to the shower room. What they're trying to do is come up with something better than that. So I think we've reached a compromise that seems to make work for Ralph. And I'd like to hear from the rest of the board and then the community. Bo.
I think essentially what he's trying to do is get a shower and where they can get clean without contaminating the whole firehouse. So to do something outside, that's all he's trying to get.
Right. David?
Yeah, I think this is a good solution, actually better than the add-on addition to the firehouse. It does have uses other than decontamination at the firehouse. It could be moved to wherever it needs to be, depending on what the needs are. And I think as far as the cost goes, $26,394, I think it is. By the time we add in barging and installation, the line and so forth, will probably be pretty much at our budget from the grant, which is $30,875. And if we go much over that, I would expect that the fire department would be willing to take that from their kitty. So I'd be willing to make a motion to proceed with the acquisition of the Alpha 2 combo shower as specified by the good work that Jay has done.
Is there a second to that? Okay, so there's no second? All right, well, Jay?
Can I just add a little point here? We keep tossing up this, the cost of the hookup and everything else, just so you all understand. The hookup electrically is a 30 amp plug, like you would plug in a camping trailer.
Right. Okay.
So the cost is maybe $50, unless whatever. The water supply is a hose because the heating system is within the unit. So all you're doing is providing water to it. And thirdly, the septic is a 3.5 inch connection into an existing septic line. We're talking about next to nothing cost-wise. I mean, even if we get really extravagant, maybe it's a couple of $100.
Right, so let's
keep everything in perspective.
Right, but we need a second to this motion so we can continue the discussion.
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you, Bo. Mark, before I call on Mark, I wanna thank Mark for doing an incredible amount of work trying to coordinate the costs for that, for building onto the building, and also David Bruna and the different contractors that they approached to come up with a really solid bid. The problem for people who are in the attendees, that came in, and Mark can address it, at about 49.5. And that was the best they could do, but they did a great job to put that together. And Mark, I just want to thank you.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I hear your points, Jay, and I appreciate what you're saying, but to say that a cord is gonna be $50 to hook up and a garden hose is gonna run on top of the line all winter, on top of the ground all winter, probably isn't that accurate. So I don't really want to argue about it. I'm willing to back this trailer if that's what the fire department wants. But I want to be clear that there is no money kicking around in our town budget for any extra costs. So I think Ralph probably understands that. and that's why he's going with this motion. And also the fire department kitty has been used up some. So I just want to encourage the fire rescue to be creative in how they get the stuff hooked up once they get it to the island, or have a plan in place before that. Thank you.
And I would like to second what Mark said. And I think Ralph can talk to the plumbers, the electricians, or whatever. Even though it could be run with a garden hose, this, as far as I am concerned, this should be there for a while. And we want to make sure that the pipe doesn't freeze up. And we want to make sure it is connected the best that it can. And I would hope also that this would be available if we had an emergency or power outage, a long-term power outage, that the public might also be able to use this to take showers. I think it has multiple uses. And I think that would be also helpful with this. Is there anyone else on the board who wants to speak before I go to the public? Okay. Anyone in the public have a question or comment about this proposal? Okay, Erica?
Yeah. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, as someone who's been attending these meetings and been involved with the Keep Maine Healthy grant, I just can't say enough about how this team came together, how quickly the decisions were made and all the work that went into it. A couple weeks ago, the idea came up and there were so many approaches and price tags. And I think that this is such a prudent, smart, and quick solution. So I'm just blown away how everyone came together. I just want to applaud the fire department and the town and the selectmen and Jay's creative idea. Everyone knows that this grant was put together very, very quickly, and it's a quick timeline to spend it, but to spend it with, you know, ethics and foresight, and I think this does that. My question is the life cycle of the trailer. Being an optimist, is there any chance that if this goes well and the EMS gets into the groove of using it, is it a structure that could is stable enough that you might even be able to build on it in the future if you should need more capacity? So to Jay, to your point that there's the difference between it sounds like a technical decon room and this, which is a really smart interim solution. Is this solid enough and a good enough structure that you could work on it in the future?
Thank you, Erica. I'm going to turn it over to Jay, but before I do that, I want to just thank Jay for doing the work. Just like Mark, Jay stepped up and the selectmen did work that usually is above and beyond what the selectmen do in project management. So I thank you, Jay, too.
Thank you. But Erica, to answer your question, it's a trailer. You can't build onto it. If you're going to do anything, you'd add another one, but you wouldn't build onto it.
Okay, anyone else? Thank you, Jay. Anyone else in the audience have a question or comment? All right, seeing none, can we read back? Chris, can you read that motion back? Because I can't even remember how that was worded.
Motion by David Hill to proceed with the acquisition of the Alpha 2 Combo Mobile Solutions, seconded by Bo.
All right. Ralph, if you could come back on before we vote. I have two questions. Well, one question, really. It's
combined. And then my motion somewhat, just to specify. Primary funding to be the keep Maine Healthy grant.
Yes, that okay, Bo?
Yes.
Okay, so Ralph, Will you be able to talk to the plumber and talk to the electrician and come up with some kind of a number in the next couple of days so that we can get this thing moving?
I'm going to need to have more information. I got to agree with Mark that we can't just run a garden hose out the window, and we're going to have to run a wire from the breaker panel, I would assume, in the septic hookup. I just need to know what we're hooking into. That's all.
Jay?
As a point of clarity, because I don't really understand the confusion on this. This plugs into a 30 amp plug. So we need to have somebody put a 30 amp plug on the back side of the building or wherever it's going to be near this thing. Okay, that should not be a terrible expense. As to the water supply, just like in mobile homes and other campers and things, if it's going to be during the winter and you need to keep that line clear, you wrap it with heat tape and you plug it in. That's maybe $25 or $30 to wrap the heat tape. And then you have the connection to the septic, which is a 3-inch connection on the trailer end, which goes into the pipe going into the septic system. This is, you know, everybody's treating this like it's some kind of a huge deal. It's very simple, it's very easy, and it doesn't amount to very much.
Jay, would there be a downside to digging down and putting in a regular water line? So you wouldn't have to worry about the heat tape and all that?
You can dig it anywhere you want, but the trailer sits off the ground.
Okay, so you
have an exposed piece of pipe regardless of what you do.
Okay.
Whether it comes from the building or whether it comes from up from the ground, whatever. You wrap it with heat tape, you plug it in, and what that does is it keeps it from freezing.
Okay. Jay, I'm going to ask you a big favor, and you feel free to say no, but will you be willing to sit down with Ralph and try to help figure out if we do need an electrician, so we get some hard numbers from Marjorie on what it would cost for the hookups?
I'll tell you what, I'll talk to an electrician and get a number for you.
And we also need the hooking up into the sewer, into the septic system.
That's a John Rich hookup. I can talk to him. Like I said, it's a 3-inch discharge.
It's a 3-inch discharge line. Typically you'd use a flex line doing this. They cost about $20.
Okay.
I just got to talk to John and figure out, because we can't have it freezing up like Mark said. And I'm not sure that I'm really very excited about wrapping heat tape around.
Okay, so right now, guys, we're into the minutia. And so we need to have, we need to vote on this so that what can happen is that, Ralph, you can get back to Marjorie with some specifics, or Jay can get back, or somebody, so that we can get this thing moving. So we can't do the planning right here, but just so that people communicate and they understand what we need. Before we order this, we have to know within a few $100 what the final costs are going to be. I think that's kind of where we all are. All right, David, did you have your hand up?
What's that?
Did you have your hand up?
I did not.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask for a vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon, yes. All right. Thank you very much for everybody who worked on this project. And please get all that detail together and get this thing ordered, because the bottom line is we're not going to be able to accept it if we can't get it delivered on time. So that's the other question. So this really is on the fast track. We don't have time to fool around with it.
Who's going to make the arrangements to buy it?
Pardon me?
Who's going to make the arrangements to buy it?
I would think Marjorie.
Okay, good. Hi, Marge. I'll stop by tomorrow and we'll chat.
Well, that, I mean, I don't run the checkbook. So, okay. I'd like to move on now quickly to 21-091 to authorize the town administrator to sign a contract with Emory Creative to research and develop and implement a town emergency notification platform funded by Keep Maine Healthy Grant. I found, I'm going to turn this over to Erica. I don't think we're using the word, we don't actually have to sign a contract, but she's going to explain this. And this also includes training as well as what else is listed here. So if Erica would like to come back on, can we elevate her or whatever you call it?
Yep. Okay, you're on, Erica.
Great, thanks so much. This is a continuation of a conversation we brought up a couple weeks ago. The proposal is to create a text and email alert system for the town from the town. This came up because of the COVID communications. We've been using generous donations from the CTC and other volunteer channels to get to the people. The best analogy of this is we've been borrowing a car, and I'm suggesting that you buy your own car. So, and the work that I've been asked to do and been happy to do and now working under the Keep Maine Healthy Grant is to set the communication strategy, timing, messages, to work with Marjorie and the board to keep the public informed about COVID. And what this proposal is to buy the car, which is to hire Emory Agency to help us with the nuts and bolts of building what we need. And the three parts of what we need are an email system, email alert system, a text alert system, which are two different things, and to make sure that it talks with the town's website, because this is web-based. The other part that was really critical is that it's built at the lowest common denominator, which is basically considering bandwidth and cell phone usage for pretty much 100% of the population, nearly 100% uses cell phones. So it's the lowest common denominator. And then the third part that's very important that Donna brought up is that it's sustainable. So that it's built, so that it's so easy, that it's as easy as deciding what the message is and then having town employees be able to post it. So we will do training and making sure that it's sustainable and as easy as, you know, putting a birthday message up on Facebook. That's about as easy as it should be. And also just to clarify that Emory Agency, John, I think he's on the call. I asked him to be on to answer any questions, but this is, oh, maybe he's not on. This is very, very, they've done this, I don't know, many, many, many times. This is kind of entry level work for them and expert level for me. I don't know how to build text systems, email systems. I can ask a lot of good questions, but he will be there to build it and make it sustainable so that anyone using it in the future will know how to. So what we get after working with him is an email system, a text system that works with the town's webpage, a training video, and then I'll be putting up the protocols, which is what goes on the system. And again, and the only other point is that we're building it for what we're calling emergency communications. But once you have this, it's the town's decision and the new administrator and the board to decide how often you use it. Because once you have it, you could use it. And the example I would give, Bo said at the last meeting, sure, it would be nice if people drove slowly on the newly beautiful paved roads, which salute to you on those because they are awesome. That's the kind of thing that could go on this, but the editorial calendar and what the messages are, that'll be the decision of the new town administrator or the board. But once you have this system, it should be sustainable for a long time. So I'll take any questions.
Before we get into questions, Erica and I have talked about a lot about this, and I'm like technology for dummies. And so I just have to say that it took me a while to even kind of understand this. So it's, but for example, we I see this not just being a, this isn't just a COVID thing. As she said, what really sold me on it was the fact that it is sustainable and it's usable later on. For example, we have a policy in town that the dump closes when we have a funeral or a burial in the cemetery. I mean, that's something simple that could just be sent out to let everybody know that the dump's going to be closed from 1 to 3, you know, in respect for John Doe, who has passed away. It could be used for, in a real emergency, like the Patriots Day storm. I can see Ralph, you know, being able to use that and let people know, you know, if you live on this section, don't go out because there's a wire down, or, you know, there's all kinds of opportunities for this. And it, so it, you know, I question stuff as much as anybody in the world. And Erica was able to finally, she had enough patience. She'd be a great teacher to be able to explain it to me. I know Marjorie and I both, we were having a hard time with this, but I finally figured, I still don't know exactly what we're doing, but I do see how I could use it and it could be used by the town. So anybody have any questions? David Hill.
Yeah, I just want to mention that this again is a part of the Keep Maine Healthy grant. If we choose to go ahead with it, that is the source of the funding. If we choose to not go ahead with it, that money will be left on the table.
Jay, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I guess the question I have is, who's going to manage it once we have the system in place? Do we need somebody, do we need to hire somebody to join the town staff or include this in the town staff's job description somewhere?
It would be no different, Jay, than right now when they, you know, I might email Chris or Marjorie and say, can you put this on Beverly's website? It's, you know,
it sounds like this is a much more extensive system and doing a lot more, which just sounds like we're going to have somebody spending more hours doing it, which is fine. Yeah, we should know that ahead of time.
The actual implementation of using it, we've talked about, I think, as part of Erica's plan, is they'll be cross-trained, so everyone in the office will, and also some community members, as well as the staff that need, you know, it could be Ralph gets trained in it, Chuck gets trained in it, so that they're able to do this, that it's, I think the technology is probably even something I could do, which that says a lot. David.
Yeah, I think the intention here is to create an emergency alert system and an important information system. In other words, I don't see it as being used to announce the Grange sale or to announce something of a community nature, but rather something that's of general nature to the health and safety of the island. And given that, I suspect that it's not going to be used very often, probably, you know, as often as the alerts that you might get from CTC about the tides or the closures of the boat not running for weather. And as far as what that means, let's say once a week, I think, would be more than I would expect it to be used. And once people are up to speed on how to make a posting on this, it should be literally a matter of a few minutes to compose the message to be posted and hit the button.
Chris, did you have your hand up? Okay. Anyone else have any comments? I'm sorry. You're in the dock there, Bo. Okay.
Yeah. I know. That's why I started waving.
I'm glad you did, because I couldn't see you.
Sorry about that. The only question I have is, what after the initial setup, and I understand that's going to come from the grant, what kind of costs are we going to have to have to run this system for the year? After the grant, the grant might be forever.
Based on what I've read from their research, there might be $50 a month at the most, somewhere between 0 and 50.
And I believe Erica was hoping to pre-fund a certain length of time. Is that true, Erica?
Yes. Am I still muted? No.
No, you're okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of these services, they're called SMS text systems, they are subscription-based. And one of the research, there's a bunch of people we've been talking to, but Casco Bay Lines uses one. And we would be hoping that whatever is not spent in the design of it would just prepay as much of subscriptions as we can. And then just to answer Jay's question, you wouldn't have to train someone on the system because it's as simple as there'll be a box for people to post a message and we'll show how to do that, but it's a really simple system. The bigger question is, if you really like it, again, to use the analogy of a car, if you might start driving a lot more, you know, you may decide you're going to be commuting a lot, communicating more as a town, and then that would take more staff time in the, if you think of a paper, the editorial. So the town administrator, they're saying, oh, we should put this on a text alert, we should put this on an email. And that's not a question of maintaining the technology. That's an issue of how much the town wants to communicate. So that from our understanding from Casco Bay Lines and from the others, there's not a lot of maintenance to this thing. This is basically setting up a channel that you can, and you don't even have that much, in a text alert system, you have character limits. So you actually have to use a brevity of language when you're using a text alert system, because you usually have 140 characters, so it shows up on a cell phone. But the maintenance of the technology is very, very minimal.
For example, a no school alert could go out and all you have to do is say no school. That'd be pretty easy. Mark, did you have a comment before I go to the audience?
Yeah, just to reiterate Jay's question, we're pretty confident that this is not going to be one of the possible causes of needing more staff or more staff time or hours.
No, actually, I think it's going to make the staff easier to communicate. Right now, they have to, well, they'll probably still continue to put things on bulletin boards, but we're going to also integrate Facebook. They'll be able to, the Casco Bay Lines, the one that we're thinking of, this text mark, you can put your message on your cell phone. Say there was a shark attack in Casco Bay, the administrator, there's two people at Casco Bay Lines that does it. She gets on her cell phone because she's an authorized person, and she posts shark attack and hits send and it goes through the system. So I don't foresee that the staff will need more time to do this. It's actually a faster way to communicate. What would take more time is if you had a big editorial process where everyone weighs in and it goes to the board and you decide, everyone weighs in. And that's the other thing that I'm offering, to set up a system for you so you have a quick way of deciding final messages, basically the editorial cycle. So when you have a final, it goes out quickly.
Thank you.
All right, is there anyone of the attendees who would like to speak? Eliza Jane, I think, has her hand up.
Yep. Go ahead, Eliza.
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you again to the board, and especially David and Donna for writing the grant. It's another example of something that, how this grant can benefit the town. And I think that Erica's put a lot of work into researching the options, and I really do think it's going to make things easier for communicating, and it shouldn't take that much training for anyone to do it. So I wanted to just speak in support of it from the public. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Eliza. Anyone else out there who has wants to make a comment? All right, seeing none. David?
Are you ready for a motion?
Yes.
I'd like to move that we authorize the creation of a text and critical information emergency alert and training system. I just saw Carol's hand go up.
Can you add not to exceed $5,000?
Not to exceed $5,000.
Is there a second? And then we'll answer. Are you seconding?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Carol, yes. Can you unmute Carol?
Yeah. Trying to. There.
Now, Carol, you have to unmute Carol. Good.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we're there.
Yeah, I just want to support. I know I've worked with Erica. She's done a lot of research on this. You know, we use a system that is more manual, which I don't think is a good idea for the town. But I cannot imagine how difficult it would have been if we had not had the notification system that we have now. And for CTC and the town could sometime be in the same type of situation. So I think it's a wonderful idea, and I really support it.
Thank you, Carol. All right. Is there anyone else on the board who has a question or a comment? Anyone in the public who has a question or comment? Anyone in the staff have a question or comment? All right. Seeing none, I'm going to call for a vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon? Yes. Thank you, Verica, for all of your hard work on this. And also thank you to John Emery. I know he's giving us a deal, and we appreciate it. All right, the next is 21-092. To authorize a donation of, and the amount was not correct on the, and I take the fault for that on the agenda. We found, David, when he was adding up the money, we found a little bit more. So it came out to $4,375 from the Keep Maine Healthy grant to the Chibig United Methodist Church Food Pantry. And I'll give you some background on this. This is also coming from the Keep Maine Healthy grant. And as you know, the food pantry has been up and running for years, and it was serving people who were food insecure, that maybe they, you know, they needed a little extra help. In March, the church made the decision that it was going to be anyone in the community could benefit from this. They were welcoming donations. We've had over $20,000 in donations since March, which I think is commendable. They're in a fundraising campaign right now. The town had a letter from Deb Bowman asking if there was any way that any of the grant money could be converted to the
food bank
grant. I mean, to the food pantry or revert or what? I've been on anesthesia, so I'm starting to lose it. But anyway, so we looked at it. And I got in touch with Michael Abbott at Maine CDC, and who's second in command up there. And he's been helping us through this whole grant process. And at first he said, well, of course we want to keep Maine healthy by feeding people, but this is supposed to be COVID related. And so I wrote back and said, we have many people who aren't leaving the island because they can get food here, and many of them are elderly. And I've had testimony from several people who have told me how important this is to them. And he wrote back and CC'd the administrator of the grant and said, I've just approved this. So it's been approved by the state. They thought it was a really innovative, it's something they hadn't thought about. And when you live on an unbridged island, and that's the background here. Would someone like to make a motion? David?
Yeah, I'd like to make the motion. First, I would like to say that in my first communication, I really got a negative sense that it wouldn't be approved. And then Donna, as she said, she stepped up and convinced them that it was a good thing to do. So I would like to move to authorize the donation of 4,000, what is it now?
$4,375
from the Keep Maine Healthy grant to the Chibig United Methodist Church Food Pantry.
I second.
Thank you, Bo. Do we have any discussion by people on the board? I just saw Jay's hand up. Were you going to second? Is that? Or do you have a question?
I was going to second. But that's
thank
okay.
you. Bo got it done. Anyone in the audience have a question or comment about this? And they still need donations. So if anybody out there They're hoping to have someone coming up with some money and doing a match. So anybody's donation will match. This is not part of a match. We didn't feel that was appropriate. But this has been a great service. I know Marjorie's been there. I've been there. A lot of us have been there. I want to thank Jen Howard and her team. There's a lot of people behind this and to make it work. So if there's no discussion, I'll call for a vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon, unanimous. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is to set executive sessions to interview candidates for the position of town administrator. So we're going to have several meetings next week, and we're still setting up the appointments, but we're looking at, and David, correct me if I'm wrong, September 15th, 16th, and 17th at 6 p.m. Some nights we'll have one, some nights we'll have two, but we're still in that process. So we wanted the public to know, we want it to be noticed that we will be having a meeting. We'll start in a public meeting, then go into executive session and come out of that executive session for the purpose of doing first interviews with potential candidates to fill Marjorie's very big hip boots. It's more than shoes, it's hip boots. Anybody have any questions about that motion? Jay?
I thought we decided on the 16th and 17th. I probably couldn't be there for anything on the 15th.
Okay, so we'll have to, then we're going to have to come up with another date. Are you going to be around the 18th?
Hang on.
I won't.
We have one candidate.
I'm going to be gone the 18th.
Who has you're going to be gone the 18th?
I won't be around the 18th either.
Okay. So I guess we'll have to do the 16th and 17th. And David, I thought it was only one night that he couldn't do it.
Well, he only mentioned two dates, one of which is already taken, unless...
Maybe we could rearrange it. Let's just say with the 16th and 17th and see if we can talk to some of the candidates and see if we can...
Let's add the 14th into the mix if we could. Is the 14th a possibility for everybody?
It's my wedding anniversary. I'll have to get back to you.
Well, I'll talk to you.
That's big trouble.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
How many of the candidates do we have lined up?
We don't know exactly because of the mail. We mailed these out last week and over the weekend. They're kind of trickling in because we're starting to see impact from the changes in the mail, especially out of state.
Okay. And are we contacting them electronically as well?
That's our plan for tomorrow if we don't get them in the mail.
Thank you.
All right, so
where are we for the 14th? Is the 14th agreeable to everybody?
Well, it's Mark's anniversary. Let's say the 16th and 17th, see if we can make it work, David.
Well, I won't be able to make it work with that one individual, so.
Oh, I thought he couldn't, there was only one night.
Yeah.
I thought it was Thursday he couldn't do it.
Well, let me put it this way. If our schedule stays filled for the 17th, then he won't.
That's what I'm saying. If we can ask somebody to move to a different date, we could just switch two people.
Yeah, except for the fact that we've only got so many slots. Let's leave it. If the 14th is available for people, we'll try to keep it on the 16th and 17th. But if we're not able to do that scheduling, I'd like to be able to say the 14th would be available.
So, Mark, how does that work for you? I don't want to put pressure on you.
Check with his wife.
You could ask the boss, I suppose.
No, are you going off island or something? Or
I really don't know.
We're supposed to go off the 18th.
Well, 20th. Mark, let's leave it that the 14th will be a hard fallback date, and I'll try to do everything on the other two dates. And I do have another question, as long as I have the floor. Have we discussed about Marjorie's role in these interviews, whether there should be any role whatsoever, or?
I think that we already talked about that, and that's why we had the meeting with Marjorie to give us the feedback that she did.
Well, I don't recall talking with her about whether we would include.
Well, I think we talked about it as a group.
I don't recall that conversation. And okay. I mentioned it to Marjorie. She said, of course, it would be up to us. So I think it might be helpful to get Marjorie's feedback.
Well, I've never been in on one where the person who was being replaced was there. And I'm sure there are some times that people are. We've already got two extra people who are already there. I mean, I don't care if she comes, but it's just one more person to be in the room. Yes, Bo.
I just had a question about the questions.
I'm going to send those out. And if you have specific questions, send them to me that you think should be included. And I'll send, I've been tied up. And so I'm starting to feel better. And so I'm going to try to get those out in the next day or so. And then if you want to add something, just email me and we'll have a final one a couple of days before we actually start interviewing.
Okay.
Jay?
I'd like to go back to the previous conversation that David brought up. I would love to have Marjorie included in this. She's the most experienced person that we have to listen and think about it and help give us some thoughts on it. It would be a shame to waste that resource. Sorry, Marjorie.
What I said to David was that it might make the candidate feel uncomfortable.
That's what I was thinking. And I've been in a lot of these in Cumberland and they just never did it. I mean, I'm not saying I'd go along with whatever the majority wants. I just don't want.
It's really up to the board. I felt like the candidate might be uncomfortable with that situation.
Yeah, it's just not what usually happens in municipalities. Mark, what do you think?
I feel good with the help that we have from Greg Hanscom and Beth Wiles.
Chris, did you have your hand up? Oh, okay. I'm only seeing half your face. So every once in a while, when something happens, I can't tell if your hand's just moving or if you're trying to get my attention. So we've got two issues here. First, we've got to set the date, but how do people feel about having Marjorie sit in?
I think you guys should just discuss it amongst yourselves at some point. And
I mean, there's no reason why we couldn't go to Marjorie if we had questions about something. We're also going to have a final interview, and that might be something that we may want the, we haven't even gotten this far in the process, but it might be that we want to have the person or persons that were in the final interview go and sit down with Marjorie before, and have a candid discussion. Sometimes people do that so they can learn about the job or learn, whether they want to do it or not. But just don't discourage everybody or you're going to have to stay, Marjorie. So,
David, did you ask Greg what he thought about that?
I did not. I'm just thinking back on my experience with, half a dozen. And if there was a person, usually they were being promoted. In our case, they were going to a different, they weren't leaving. But there was one retiree, there was one going to a different position. And it was helpful to have them in as a as a resource for what the job really is like and to get another opinion in their evaluation.
It's just something we've never, ever done. And that doesn't mean that we can't do it, but.
Well, Donna, you're wearing the star there. You get the sheriff's badge, so.
What?
You've got the sheriff's badge.
All right, so what does that mean? This says vote. You can buy these on Miller Design's website for $10, just to let you know.
And you're sheriff. All right,
we want to have supper at my house, so let's get going on this. First, let's vote on it, and then that'll give you time to think about what you want to do about Marjorie sitting in. But I think it might be, my feeling is, it would be more appropriate to have her as a resource to the person as opposed to being there, you know, trying to judge whether that's the right person or not.
But, okay.
Do we actually have a motion?
For what?
No.
I didn't think so.
Do we have to have a motion?
Yes, because
we're setting the interviews for the 16th and 17th with the 14th as a possible date if necessary.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We decided that last meeting.
Except for the
14th. No, we didn't because we didn't take any action when we came out of executive session. That was a discussion in executive session. That's the only reason this is on the agenda.
Okay.
All right, then I'll move and we set the interview dates for the 16th and 17th of September with the 14th as a fallback date if necessary.
Okay. Any questions? All right, let's do a roll call. Mr. Beaupre.
I second it.
Okay. Bo seconded it.
And then David repeated it. But in the second it again.
let's keep moving here.
I mean, yes.
Okay, Mr. Corson.
Yes.
Mr. Dyer. You're muted, Mark.
Yes. I read his lips.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Ms. Damon is yes. And so, Chris, can you notice those for us?
Yes.
Thank you. And can you put the correct MRS? Mike knows it by heart. What is that for personnel?
4056A.
Yeah. See, I always depend on him for that number.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Communications. Does anyone have any communications? Marjorie.
I got a thank you letter from Northern Light Health for the $1,250 donation that was appropriated at town meeting. And for the next agenda, I'd like to have a hearing about the new general assistance maximums. Is that all right if I put that on the agenda?
Sure.
And that's all I have for communications.
Oh, I saw something today about Bennett's Cove Road.
Oh yeah, I didn't print that off.
I read that the Coley's note. And I happened to be down there swimming two different days when they were bringing the tire on. And he said they always back those trucks when they use the big barge off. And they drove them off. Every one of them was driven off those days. So I don't know what he was talking about. But every truck that I saw in two different, with actually three loads, because I was there for two, they went back to Portland and then came back. So I don't know, but maybe somebody else can weigh in. What he was saying is that when they use the big barge, they have to back the trucks off. Bo? Bo, did you want to say something?
Can you hear me?
You can now.
Sorry, my internet's slow.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So she's probably not talking about the paving people.
No, I know she's not. But what he said in his explanation was that whenever they bring trucks, they have to back them off. Because of the big barge or something about the ramp. But maybe Marjorie can share that with everybody. I don't know if everyone got to see that communication.
I think I copied all.
I thought you did too. Yeah. So so anyway, and but it's still an ongoing problem down there. And somebody had parked apparently in the turnaround, and I think Marjorie said that the public services had gone down and clipped some bushes and made more space. You know, I short of having somebody down there all the time, I don't know what we do about people parking illegally.
We've addressed it with the one person that we know about.
Okay. All right. That's the only communication that I knew about.
Hey, Donna, didn't we get a communication from Tracy Ames about the in point?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Tracy Ames sent a copy of a report that she had written about Indian Point that she did a couple of years ago. And that was very informative, had a lot of information about that whole area down there. And so that's something that people should hold on to, because when we'll be having another agenda item at some point on Indian Point. So keep track of that. I mean, we can always give it to you again, but you know, if you printed it off, put it someplace so you could find it. Anyone else have a communication? All right, seeing none. Wait a second. Did Jackie have her hand up?
Yes.
Yes, Jackie.
She should be able to talk now.
I think you can hear me now.
Yes.
I guess I would request that when possible, Gennaro or in the summer, the law enforcement be present when the barge comes in to determine whether there is any, you know, illegal parking in the turnaround. Coley, in his response, mentioned that, and I don't know whether I'm quoting exactly, but something to the effect that his drivers were skilled at driving forward and backwards. And that may be true, but as you know, the Bennett's Cove Road is unique and narrow, et cetera, in its characteristics. You know, I just feel that it's incredibly dangerous for oncoming traffic, pedestrians, et cetera, to encounter a large vehicle backing up. And I wonder which side of the road they back up on. You know,
well, if it's a big truck, it's going to hold the whole road. And I think the issue is small children. I mean, there's a lot of pedestrians on there, and I don't think anybody thinks it's safe to back any vehicle all the way up that road.
I think Coley does, but I think Coley thinks it's okay.
I mean, that would be the last resort, I would hope. And I think we should probably, you know, give that message that, but it's not an ideal situation. There's no question about it.
Thank you. He also said that last Thursday's backing of two vehicles was the only time that it had happened this summer. And I observed one other occasion.
Maybe he wasn't a barge operator. You know.
Possible. No.
Possible. Mark.
I would think that the parking enforcement attendant, Gennaro, could make an occasional drive down once in a while to see if people are parking where they shouldn't be, where these signs are very, very clearly posted, by the way. You would have to put flashing lights on it to make it more conspicuous.
Yeah. Thank you, Jackie, for letting us know about that. And keep us posted if something, you know, if you see something else. and hopefully Marjorie can talk to Gennaro and, you know, we can solve that problem, at least on for most of the time. Any other communications? All right, seeing none, a motion to approve the minutes from August 26, 2020. Mark? He said so moved, I read his lips, but you're muted, Mark.
That doesn't go on the tape.
I'm very sorry. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from August 6, 2020.
Second.
And David Hill seconded.
It's August 26th.
26th. Everybody got that? All right. All in favor? I'm sorry, we can't do all in favor. I'm telling you.
Yes.
Thank you, Bo. Mr. Yes. Bo, yes. Mr. Corson is yes. Mr. Dyer is yes. Mr. Hill? Yes. Ms. Damon, yes. All right, other business. Marjorie had asked that we appoint Gloria to the Cemetery Commission. I have worked with Gloria on that committee and in the past, and she's a great asset. Mark?
I'd like to make a motion to appoint Gloria Brown to the Cemetery Committee.
Jay?
I'll second that.
All right, all in favor?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Bo says, Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
I mean, Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Any other new business?
What about Ms. Damon?
Ms. Damon said yes.
No good.
And I just want to apologize. If you don't know, I've had surgery this week. I think I'm at the end of my rope here, so.
I move we adjourn.
Thank you. Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? No, we can't do that again. I'm sorry.
Raise your hand.
Oh, say yes.
Nope, you can't see
on the video. Yes.
Corson says yes.
Mr. Dyer.
Yes.
Hill.
Yes.
Damon. Yes. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for putting up with me because.
Well, thanks for hanging in there.
Things will be better next week.
Yeah, thanks for hanging in there and getting us out in time to watch Jeopardy.
My goal was to get up by 7 o'clock. So.
Good night.
Thank you all. And thank you in the audience.